he's leaning in to hear us, but are we leaning in to hear him, or are we setting ourselves up with a whole array of distractions?
Welcome to Rinse, Reflect, Repeat, the daily podcast inspired by my action-driven devotional and guide to reading the Bible through in a year, alphabetically. I'm Anita Cordell, and each day we'll walk through the Bible, discovering how even books like Leviticus and Numbers speak to our daily lives. These short devotionals are here to cleanse our hearts and transform our perspectives. So grab your Bible, open your heart, and let's journey through the living water together. It's time to rinse, reflect, and repeat.
Okay, you guys, I have a very, very special guest on today's podcast, and her name is Cindy. This is my sister. Hi, Cindy. And by the way, she's my younger sister, so I'm the oldest one, but I've been told recently that she's the boss. So let's
who told you that? Not me.
No, we're going on a missions trip, and the missions trip person, she's leading it. So yeah, you're the official boss of that missions trip. Well, so today is day 109, and we're on April 19th. And the devotion for today, I titled Run with Hinds Feet. And so if you're following along on reading the Bible through alphabetically, then today's morning rinse is Habakkuk 1-3. And it just takes one day to read the book of Habakkuk. So that is what you're going to do, is just read those three chapters. And so the featured verses, there's two featured verses that I've got for today. One is Habakkuk 2:2. And the other one is Habakkuk 3:19. The first one says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run." And then the second featured verse, 3:19, says, "Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places." So I started out this devotion by writing about a little picture, and this little picture was this student who sits in this class, and they might be confused with the lesson, and they decide in their confusion to bravely ask several questions to the teacher. And while he thinks he is the only one with questions, he discovers that multiple students have those same questions. And what's really cool is my sister is a teacher and has probably had this same scenario happen. But he also discovers from later conversations with these students that the reason why they withheld raising their hands was because they lacked courage to do so. I'm sure probably that you've had that same experience happen in your classroom. What do you teach? And tell us a little bit about your teaching experience right now.
So I teach eighth grade English this year. Most of my teaching is in middle school, sixth, seventh, or eighth grade. Some years it's all eighth, some years it's a combination. One year I taught sixth, seventh, and eighth. Last year I taught seventh and eighth. And I don't know what I'm teaching next year. So it just depends on what they need and what matches the certifications that I have, the endorsements that I have. But this example happens daily. It is not uncommon for students to be in a classroom. And I have students that are very, very low readers. I teach English. And English is not something that most middle schoolers love. You might have a handful of students, and a lot of students actually, they like to read and they'll read, but I still have a handful of students every single year that tell me they hate to read. And so they don't engage. If it's confusing to them, they just sit and stare at the page and hope nobody notices that they're not reading. And in writing, it's even worse. They don't like to write. They have no confidence in writing. And again, you have a handful of exceptions to that where you can put a piece of paper in front of them and they just go, and you're telling them, okay, time's up, 4 minutes ago, stop writing, and they're still wanting to write. That's the rare case. The most common is that students, even at higher levels, and my students range from very low readers to very high achieving students. I have a class of students who have been identified as gifted learners. And so I have a very, very wide range to include students who have never passed a reading SOL ever. And so those students have no confidence in their abilities. And we have other students who they have confidence in their abilities, but they also, because they have traditionally had an easier time at learning certain subjects, usually they're very, very strong in one or two subjects and strong in others, but not as strong. But if they come across a question that they don't know, suddenly they feel like, why don't I know this? I'm supposed to know this. Learning is supposed to be easy for me. That's kind of how they condition themselves, and they don't want to look stupid. And so I can't even tell you how many times that I've had students stay after class and want to talk about a specific question that they have, or come to me in the morning before school or whatever. And I'll ask, you know, I mean, you didn't ask me this yesterday because maybe we're now past the due date or whatever. And, oh, I don't know. I just didn't want to ask in front of everybody. And I don't like everybody looking at me or, you know, whatever. And so for me, my approach generally is to ask before I set them loose to start an assignment. I stop and ask what questions they have. And then when nobody will ask a question, I tell them one of two things. I tell them, if you have a question, chances are very strong that somebody else in the classroom has the same question as you do. So you're not just doing yourself a favor. You're doing those around you a favor, because somebody's got to have the courage to ask first. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else around you is going to be thinking, I'm glad they asked that, and I'm glad nobody is looking at me, and now I don't feel so dumb. And the other thing is yes, you can always come back and ask questions, but there comes a time when, you know, the deadline is going to pass. And so you have to take action. You have to actually, you make a choice. You're going to either send me an email or come to see me during we have a homeroom class where they can come in and get extra help, or ask me in class, or stay with me at lunch, or whatever you need to do. But at some point, you know, doing nothing is not an option. That wasn't one of the options that I gave any of you. You know, just basically sitting there and doing nothing because you don't understand is not one of your options. So I tell them, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice to move and take action, or you kind of end up in a place you don't want to be.
Yeah. So all of those students that keep their arms like frozen to their sides in anticipation of some other fellow classmate being the brave one is probably, I mean, happens like all the time, you said. And what is so interesting about your experience in your own classroom is that our faith journey can actually mirror this whole scenario that you've described in your classroom. And in today's Morning Rinse, Habakkuk actually was brave enough and asked a ton of tough questions that we also may have, but we might be a little intimidated to ask. So like in chapter one, he inquires to God about why there's evil in the world. And then he also asks God, why does some of this evil even occur? And in that moment, the world seemed confusing to Habakkuk, and it was really hard for him to see God at work in those moments. And just like the students in your classroom, we can also feel, you know, scared or intimidated to ask God those tough questions, or even feel this way at times. But the really cool thing about when people ask in your classroom, or when we ask God, he always has an answer for us, just like he had an answer for Habakkuk. And if we get nervous about asking those tough questions, God is always there to answer the whys, you know. And the answer for us is to seek a perspective of trust and always be rooted and grounded in him. And it was really cool to read that God encouraged Habakkuk to just be patient and to wait on him and trust him fully, even when he didn't understand why certain things were occurring in his life. And, you know, in answering Habakkuk's question, God encouraged him to write down those conversations, which is so cool. And it was one of the featured verses. And in that hard conversation, he asked him to write down their conversations and to document his response so that Habakkuk could remember what God said. And when he was writing things down, it helps us to keep our focus. And so I would imagine that, you know, you as a teacher have that same experience. Like when people ask questions, like how do you get them to ask the tough questions, but yet also embrace as a classroom to write down what you're saying?
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's, in my classroom, I have a culture of handwritten notes and not digital notes. So everything right now is so digitized, but actually, scientific studies show that we remember things more when we write them, physically write them, than when we actually type them on our computers. And so my students have to write their notes, and we have an interactive notebook. It's kind of, you know, kind of like their English journal. So they write things down that they are learning. Sometimes it's very directed notes that I will give them, and they have, I call them slot notes, so that they don't just have to copy blindly, you know, from a screen. They'll have certain areas of the notes that they have to fill in, areas that they might not understand, or they might have to interpret something that I said and rephrase it in their own words or whatever. And so they very much are asked to write things down. Their Chromebooks are put away so that they are fully engaged and listening. And then I will often ask them to refer back to their notes. And what did we talk about that day? And what did that specific lesson, specific say to you to do? How did you interpret that? So that's one piece of it. But I try to hold them accountable to asking questions, but I also try to tell them, I mean, here we are in April, and I am still telling them, I'm here to help you. If you are sitting, staring at your screen or staring at your paper, and you are stuck and you don't know what to do, you have a helper right here, and I'm here to help you. And I would much prefer you come and ask me for help. Even if you ask the same question 10 times, I would much prefer you come and ask me for help and sit with me and make sure that you understand it than to be sit there frustrated and not knowing what to do, because there is an answer. And, you know, maybe I'm not hearing what you're asking correctly. Maybe I just need you to say it to me differently, or maybe I'm not teaching it yet in a way that has resonated with you. So, you know, we're going to get there, but we've both got to keep moving. And I will say that it also reminds me a lot. You were talking about Habakkuk asking difficult questions and having the courage to do that. It reminds me of a verse. It's Psalm 116:2. And there are obviously many translations I have in front of me, but one of them says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. And another version says, I will call on him as long as I live. And the picture of that, of God actually, you know, like when somebody's whispering and you lean in to hear what they have to say, that is the picture that God is leaning in to hear what our questions are. And, you know, the fact that he takes the time and the effort to listen to us, and like he wants to hear, you lean into the things that you want to hear. And he wants to hear our questions. He wants to hear what it is that we're struggling with. And when we get those answers and that satisfaction, it gives us the freedom and the courage to ask more. So, you know, I'm not in any way comparing myself to the Lord in that in my classroom, but that is actually what my hope would be, that my students know they can come and ask me questions. I'm here to help them, just like God is here to help us and give us answers when we will call on him and listen.
I love that so much. That verse is so good. And it's like he wants to hear us. Mm-hmm. He's leaning in and wanting to hear our questions so that we don't have to, you know, I mean, he already knows what's in our hearts anyway. It's like, mm-hmm. but actually asking it. And I love what you said about how that, what did you say? Something about statistically, if you write something down, mm-hmm.
You remember it more than if you type it.
Yeah. And that that's so cool how that we have the featured verse of, you know, writing it down. You know, and when we get confused about the world around us and God has given us something to, you know, as an answer, we can pull up our notes and remember it or refer back to it, or even just remember it because we've written it down. We will remember it more, which is so cool because I have this devotional plus the journal. And if God gives us something during the day, we can write it down and reference it in the future years. So that's really cool.
I think it's also a little bit of a protection, like for me to give my students. And I think sometimes it's a protection from the Lord to like write these things down. When he said, write these down on a tablet, like inscribe, make your inscription here and write these things down. When my students are typing on their Chromebooks, there are many, many, many distractions. If they have too many tabs open, or they get a notification, or if they get just unfocused for long enough and they want to slip over to a different tab and play a game that they're not supposed to be playing, we can set ourselves up in a place where there are so many distractions that we fail to hear God, and mm-hmm. that, you know, he's leaning in to hear us, but are we leaning in to hear him, or are we setting ourselves up with a whole array of distractions? And when I ask them to close their Chromebooks and put that away, it is a little bit selfish in that I want your attention, but God wants our attention on him too. And writing down takes away a lot of other things. They can't look at their Chromebooks. They're not allowed to have their phones out at all in our school. So what they've got in front of them is it, their pen and their paper. And that's what they're writing down. They are listening and then they are writing. And mm-hmm. I think it is just, we can be that way with the Lord too, because if we have so many other things going on and we don't separate ourselves and give ourselves that time and space and ability to write down what he's saying to us, you know, listening first, we have to be ready to listen first and get rid of the distractions. But God has an answer and he's willing to give it to us if we're willing to listen.
I like that analogy. When you're writing it down, you help to remember it. But when we also write down what God says to us, it can help us with building our faith and building our trust and continually repeating, you know, what God has told us and the promises that he has made, and writing it down probably helps us get it into our hearts more. So that's such a good analogy. And the trusting part is, I liken it to in that second featured verse where it talks about a hind or a female deer. This is what she does when she runs. She actually places her back feet exactly where her front feet just stepped, and it causes her to run securely. So like really fast, and they stay on track towards where she is going. And I think that that analogy is, you know, when we have those things written down, it helps, you know, it not only helps like the hind's feet example, she knows right where the front feet are going. And so she just hits that exact same spot. And it helps her to stay focused on where she is going. And it's so cool to how that God used that in this scripture, because he wants us to keep running towards him like hind's feet with confidence, you know, and praising him for not just what we see, but for all of the promises that he has made. And writing it down obviously helps with that, you know, remembering that he is all knowing. No matter what our world looks like, whatever questions that we have, God will do what is right and make his way straight for us. And it's just a matter of taking one step in front of the other, staying on the path of trusting God and having freedom through him, even through times of, you know, insecurity, crises, chaos. You know, we're just supposed to run towards him with that hind's feet and remaining steadfast in his promises and knowing and having it written down is just so cool.
Yeah. It serves as a record too, like to look back and things that we can pass down and share with our future generations, and how, you know, we're supposed to write it on our heads as we go out and we go in. I mean, there are so many, many, many references to writing things down and creating those remembrances. And, you know, we're not always going to have our memory, but our memory is not always going to be as sharp as it used to be. But that's one thing, that when you have those things written down, you can always pull that back and look back and see during this time period, this is how God moved. And I might never would have believed it had I not written it down. And I see it.
Yeah. Well, that's the how my whole devotional came about, because I was reading the Bible, studying it, making notes, writing it down. And that's how just this whole thing happened. And so the writing of it down is so important. And, you know, just God's promises are ever new. And I love your analogies of your classroom and how that it mirrors, you know, what God wants to do in our own personal lives as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like it in anything that we endeavor to do, if we will just read the instructions and if we can know what the maker is telling us to do, then, I mean, that's kind of a little bit of a joke in our house, because like whenever, you know, Ashley tends to be very much like me. And if she says something that is, you know, funny, or if she says something and now, you know, that if she's picking on me or if she's like being silly or whatever, I'll say something to her. And she said, I just like to refer you to the maker. or she'll say, I am you, the remix. You just, you know, it's funny because we know where we get our traits from and our personality from, and we know where our instructions come from. And if we will simply follow the instructions, and it's like when you were talking about the deer, imagine if that deer, instead of jumping into the path that was set forth in front of her, if she started going this way or that way, she might stumble on twigs, she might fall over something else. There may be, you know, you never know what could be out there waiting to distract and destroy her. And so, you know, keeping yourself on that path when you know the instructions are this way is so important.
Yeah, it's so good. And, you know, as you know, I have a daily challenge. Every single time people will, you know, read the devotional or, you know, go through the book, there's a daily challenge. And I love today's challenge because the challenge to dig deeper is really to remember the things that God has talked to you about. And that could be things like answers that he's given you in those hard questions, or visions that he's given you, or goals for your future, or promises that he has made. And when you remember those things that he's already told you in your heart, then it's easy to pull those back out, especially if you have them written down. But the challenge is to not just remember those things or to remember what's deep inside your heart that God's talked to you about, but also to pray that your spiritual feet would be like the hinds feet and sprint towards that direction and have faith and hope that, you know, you're headed in that right direction. And then, you know, write down what that vision is in your heart for and trust him as you write. And that's kind of a big challenge. I mean, a lot of times people will have visions or goals in their life, but yet they won't move towards them. And I feel like sometimes the writing down does help, you know, even like if it's on a vision board or some kind of note in your office or your house or whatever, something that you want to do. One of the things that I love about your family is that you guys go on missions trips and you've had those visions in your heart for years that you go on missions trips. And I'm so excited because I get to go on the first one with you guys this summer. And it's always been kind of in my heart. I did one years ago, but I haven't done something like this, you know, and so it's kind of like when God puts something in your heart and then doors open for you to go, it's kind of that same way. You have to trust and move forward in that pathway, like that hinds feet, and, you know, trust that he's a part of it. So writing it down is the first step, I feel like, or one of the first steps, you know, listening, obviously. But yeah, that's part of the challenge of that. And, you know, obviously too, you know, with my journal, I also kind of encourage people to really take that challenge and kind of reflect on those challenges. And so today's reflection would be just really reflect on what you wrote down. And as you lay your head down for, you know, to go to sleep, you know, talk to God about your life goals and ask him those really hard questions. Don't be afraid to ask him that, because sometimes we need to ask and we need to hear from him to keep our hope and our vision alive as we're learning even deeper realms of trusting him, especially if we don't see it right at this moment, if you know, we don't see the answer. But no matter what our life may look like, it's so important to have those pathways and goals and trusting in him as we go throughout our day, and writing it down is so important.
Yeah, I think I agree that writing it down is a big deal. We actually, interestingly enough, are just finishing a kind of a research unit with my students on people who have faced major challenges in their lives and what did they do to overcome those challenges. And so we started out by talking about success and what does success look like. And so the students had this blank human picture and they had to write in, like, you know, passion and where does that come from? That comes from your heart. And, you know, the strength to keep moving is like our strongest muscles are in our legs. And so when we lack motivation and we want to just quit, you know, that's where our motivation comes from. And what do you do to stay motivated? And we talked about the support system that we have and so forth. But one of the things I asked them to do was to write down, what does success look like? If you actually met this goal, what would that look like? I want you to envision what that would be like for you and write it down. And so they had to put that into their little human figure. And then I said, okay, what are four action steps that you have to take to make this happen? And mm-hmm. So, you know, we actually talked about, like, you're in eighth grade, but you're getting ready to go into high school. And this is a major turning point. It can be a major turning point for a lot of people at this age, depending on what your choices are. So think about what your goals are. And you need to think about what actions you need to take. And so I think that's one of the things that, like, when God gives us a vision or God gives us, I think sometimes people think, well, I'm not sure that was really God telling me that, or, you know, God didn't speak audibly to me, so I don't know that was really him. But I have come to, in my life, I have found that when there are things in my mind that I cannot stop thinking about, I find that those are the things that God put there. And then when I actually follow those things, like, I had a friend who went on a different mission trip and she said, I had no intention of going on a mission trip, never even really thought about it. And then the church presented this particular opportunity and, you know, they showed a kind of a tease or a video or whatever. There was going to be this interest meeting. She said, I never had any thought of going on a mission trip. And she said, and this last week, every single time I turned around, I was thinking about that mission trip. I was doing the dishes, looking out the window, and found myself thinking about that interest meeting. And mm-hmm. I was something else, folding clothes, and I found myself thinking about that mission trip. And she was like, why can't I get this out of my head? And it was because the Lord wanted her to go on that mission trip. And it was a really big deal for her. And so I think, you know, when God nudges us enough times, you know, we have to stop acting like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Or, oh, I was really supposed to take action there. You know, when God puts something in our minds and in our hearts, when it's from him, he will show us the next action steps to take. And then mm-hmm. It's up to us to actually follow those action steps, you know, and move, take action.
I love that. I love that, which is so, it really does kind of bring everything all together with just this devotional even still too, because it's an action-driven devotional. Sometimes I have people write things down. Sometimes I have them do tangible stuff. Sometimes I have them, you know, search deep in their heart for things. And you're right, because our faith walk is action driven. Mm-hmm. It's and I like how you mentioned, if something keeps coming to mind, then it's probably God, you know, talking to you about maybe a potential, you know, shift or pursuit or something that he wants you to do. If something just continually comes to your mind, that's pretty cool. I like that. Yeah. So go write it down, right?
Go write it down. And then go do it.
Go write it down and go do it. Yes. Well, I know that everyone's going to just love you. And so thank you so much for coming on and being my special guest for today. And you know, thanks for inspiring people. I know that people, when they listen to this, they're going to be inspired even more to write things down and to ask the hard questions and to really take action and reflect on what they feel like in their heart. And I think that you've given a really neat perspective on this whole entire subject. And so I thank you for coming on and sharing about, you know, your class and how that interacts with faith and the whole bit. So
thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And
I think it speaks to me just as much as it does to anybody else. So that's an important part. I think sometimes when we are asked questions and sharing our faith, sometimes it's just as much to reiterate to ourselves what we need to do.
Exactly. So yeah, if you are watching this or listening in and you don't know what I'm talking about or what we're talking about regarding the devotional, it's in the show notes. There's a link in there as well as the journal. If you are a writer and you are wanting to write more things down, the journal is in the show notes. And we're going to continue on tomorrow with Haggai, however you say it, Haggai, the book. So come on back. And until tomorrow, keep rinsing, reflecting, and repeating. God bless you.